your hands together and greet my brother as he comes to minister to us. God bless you.
Well, good morning. It's a good day to be alive. I know that there's a lot going on out there, but it doesn't matter. Jesus Christ is still Lord. And as far as I'm concerned, we are still winners. Amen. You know, as I was just sitting back and thinking throughout this week and asking God, you know, Lord, what is it that you would have me to say? And how would you have me to say it? And we thought we'd put a little comical twist to it just to kind of give you a sense of, you know, connecting with the whole thing. As you've already seen the title, it's time to put your kingdom cap on. And I brought some kingdom caps, okay? So we're going to illustrate that in a way of looking at that as our helmet. But, you know, when I was sitting back and I was thinking about, you know, reading in the Bible where it talks about these two men on their way to the village of Emmaus, they were talking about all the things that had occurred previously of the crucifixion of Jesus, even the hearing of the tomb being empty. And they're just talking, trying to figure out what is going on. And as they're trying to really get a feel for everything, all of a sudden Jesus shows up. They didn't know it was him, but he was walking and talking with them, and they were, you know, trying, the two men were like, you don't even know what's been going on the last few days. And as Jesus began to speak, all of a sudden scriptures begin to be open in the minds of the people, the two that were walking, and Jesus disappeared. And they looked at each other and say, didn't our hearts burn when we were talking with him? What I want you to begin to start doing and recognizing in the midst of all the coronaviruses and all the things that people are saying, walk with Jesus. Let your hearts burn. Begin to sense his presence just so ever, just like he's just at an arm's reach to you, because he is. He's living on the inside of you. Burn, heart, burn. So that we know that I am walking with the Master and he is talking to me in all of what's going on. I have taken and just taken all the voices of the world and I blocked it out so I can hear the voice of Jesus to get the revelation. Isn't that something? We are in a position so that we are not walking blindly in this thing. And then I started thinking about old Mr. Nicodemus, you know, and I began to realize here's this Pharisee hearing Jesus and seeing Jesus do all kind of miracles and speaking with such authority and power. And Nicodemus said, you are a man from God. You are a man from God. And Jesus started talking about the kingdom to Nicodemus. And Nicodemus was like, how do I get into this? He said, you must be born again to get into the kingdom. And when I begin to think about what maybe Nicodemus heard, because so often we hear about the gospel being preached. And to be honest with you, the gospel is not being preached in so many areas. Because they only talk about being born again. But 121 times in the gospel, Jesus talked about the kingdom. Only one time we talked about being born again, and that was with Nicodemus. And I said, what is it, Lord, about this gospel when I'm talking to people about being born again and they ask me the question, why? What do you tell them? For what reason? What do you mean born again? What's the purpose? I have to have an answer. You know, when Jesus came preaching the gospel, he began to heal the sick. He began to bind the brokenhearted. He began to raise the dead. There was something about the gospel of this kingdom that power was being exemplified. And all of a sudden, that which was out of order started becoming in order. So I started thinking about the kingdom message that Jesus preached of a kingdom from heaven in the earth. I said, what is that? The same thing that he had indicated for Adam to do. I want a kingdom from heaven in the earth, in the hearts of men. I want to duplicate that which is in heaven in the earth. And I started thinking, what was Jesus really talking about? He was saying, you know what? When I came preaching the kingdom, it was to remind them that you have lost your relationship and you're separated from God. But guess what? I'm here. That's changed. I'm going to restore your relationship with God. That's part of the gospel of the kingdom. You've lost your fellowship and your ability to be in God's presence. But guess what? The gospel of the kingdom is that's over with. You can now come back into the presence of God and dwell face to face without the presence of sin. When I begin to think about the gospel of the kingdom, is I lost my citizenship. I was part of God's kingdom. Now I wasn't part of God's kingdom because of what Adam did. Now Jesus came and said, that kingdom is now back and your citizenship is now been restored. That's the gospel of the kingdom. Your assignment. Adam came here with an earthly assignment to fill the earth with the presence of God. Your assignment is back. You can take the glory of the Lord to and fro and let people know of his power and his majesty. That's the gospel of the kingdom. He lost his family inheritance. There was nothing like poverty in the Garden of Eden. He said, guess what? All the riches that belong to God has now been restored back to you again. You're not poor anymore. That's the gospel of the kingdom. Man lost his identity. Who am I? What am I? What am I to do? You didn't even have an idea that you were not a person that was enslaved. With all the rhetoric about slavery, the first taskmaster of slavery was the devil and sin. And he's still doing his thing. Man lost his identity. Man lost his freedom. Jesus said, welcome back the kingdom. Your identity is restored. Your freedom is restored. You're no longer in bondage to death, hell, and the grave. Man lost his safety and protection because God's presence was gone. They were pretty much subject to chaos and destruction. The gospel of the kingdom said, guess what? God's presence is back. There is no weapon formed against you that will prosper anymore. That's the message of the kingdom. All of a sudden, man lost his dependency on God. And their dependency was transferred to men. Now, you know that that's a problem. You can see that today. But guess what? I can depend on God and know that God hears me and will answer me and will provide for me. All of a sudden, Jesus is saying, guess what? God's dependency is back. You can rely on him. He will make sure that you are able to stand and having done all to stand. Man lost his faith, lost his value, lost his order to govern himself. Because in the world became so wicked that God had to destroy it. All of a sudden, they were beside themselves. Guess what? You're whole again. You're not fragmented. You're a full person. Man lost his health, his soundness of mind. In other words, his physical and mental stability. Jesus said, guess what? Health has now been restored back to you. Sickness? Are you kidding me? In the kingdom, there is nothing but health. In the kingdom, you're in your right mind. In the kingdom, there is order and stability. The peace of God. Man lost it, and fear became the thing that dominated him. And Jesus said, peace is back. And we know that by being born again gets me into the kingdom where all these goodies, God said, I have restored. When people say, I've been redeemed, redeemed from what? If I don't even know what I lost, how do I know that I have been given back? The gospel of the kingdom is so huge. The message is so broad. There is so much in that that we need to tell the people everything about the good news. And then I begin to start thinking that God wants to remind us that Jesus has already won our battles and already secured our victory today, in the midst of all of what's going on, with all the chaos and confusion taking place in our nation today, Jesus wants to remind us that he's already defeated the devil. He wants to remind us that greater is he that is in you than anything that is in this world. With such uncertainties about tomorrow and what tomorrow is going to bring, Jesus wants you to know, I've already taken care of tomorrow. So you don't have to fret and have anxiety about anything. And he wants us to get in a position to be able to stand in the evil days. It's not surprising to see the days being evil. Did he not say that? Perilous times were coming. But what it is that he wants us to do is something quite differently. And you can see on the screen, I want to read my scripture text to you as we get into what I would like to share with you. Ephesians chapter 6, as you can see, the scripture right on the screen there. Paul is giving us an illustration of a people who are in position for victory in the battle. Guess what? You don't even have to fight the battle. All you got to do is stand. You know, the battle's already been won, but we don't know how to stand. So he goes on, a final word, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It's not even my power, my might, it's his. Put on the whole armor of God so that you be able to stand against the strategies of the devil. How many of you know that the devil has strategies? You know, I don't know if you remember back in the day when Muhammad Ali fought George Foreman. And he put on a show called the Rope-A-Dope. I don't know if you remember that. George has never been beyond like four rounds. And Ali just stayed on the rope and George just wailing, wow, wow, wow. And he let him wear himself out before he knocked him out. You know, we're letting the devil play rope-a-dope with us. We're trying to fight, and God's saying, I've already done it. What are you doing? And he's wearing us out until, as the body of Christ, we're losing our ability to be effective. We're still around. But, you know, we're supposed to be walking in the power of his might. We're not effective. We need to be more effective. We cannot be laying on the ropes, you know, and letting the devil punch us. We got to be, you know, all we doing is realizing and recognizing all I got to do is stand, and God's going to do the rest. So, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, against evil rulers of authorities and unseen world, against the mighty powers in this dark world, against the evil spirits in heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of the armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the times of evil. That's where we're in right now. Then after the battle, you know, we'll be able to stand. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth, the body armor of righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you'll be able to be fully prepared. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery darts of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, we're not going to be dealing with all the other parts of the armor. We're just going to be dealing with the helmet. The helmet is something that you need to put on. In other words, it's laying around collecting dust. If you were a Roman soldier back in the day, the helmet on your head was for protection. It was to make sure that you didn't get your head bashed in, okay? Because if your brain, physical brain, was altered, your body would not be able to receive the signals necessary from the brain to react, to do things, okay? To walk, to run, whatever it is that your body needs to do. And then, because your body depends upon the brain to tell it what to do, all of a sudden the brain, if it's injured because it's unprotected, can't tell the body what to do, and the body is lifeless and without expression. Then there's the soul that comes in. Soul and spirit. Okay, that's what you're made of. You are a spirit being with a soul, a will, and live inside of a physical body. When you think about the soul is where the information comes from that tells the body through the brain what to do to give an exposure to the expression of the information that you see. Jesus told us that he wants us to go out to the hedges and the highways and the byways, compel them to come. He told us to go out and preach this gospel. He told us to make sure that we are representations, the ambassadors of this world, that people need to see what Jesus looks like walking in this world today so that they can know it's available for them. But the purpose of a helmet, when you think, and I put up there, Mr. Frank, I put your hero on the screen there, okay? I did that on purpose, all right? You know, when you start thinking about, you know, the helmet, a helmet deals with the head, it deals with the mind, it deals with the very part of us where life is being pretty much, you know, directed. So I got my helmet on, all right? This is the key of the kingdom helmet. Whatever I bind in the earth, because Jesus said, I give you the keys of the kingdom. That's part of the gospel. I got the keys back again. Guess what? Devil, you can't rule over me anymore. I got the keys. Jesus is getting, so I'm gonna unlock my freedom. Bam! I'm gonna unlock my provision. Bam! I'm gonna unlock my healing. Bam! Okay? That's part of the helmet. Why do we not have that on? You know, I was just thinking the other day, and you know how we wait till we're sick before we start praying. And God said, no, you got the keys of hell. Use it while you're well. Why are you waiting till you're sick? You get up and declare, 10,000 may fall at my side, but it would not come near me. The coronavirus. I know that we're sitting in the midst of unprecedented time and times of uncertainties. But guess what? When I go out, that scripture is on my mind. The invisible enemy. I don't know where you are. I don't know who you are, but I know who I am. And I walk out with my helmet, the keys with the kingdom. And I said, bless God, you are bound in Jesus' name. And therefore, I lose health in the midst. That when people come into my presence, the glory shows up. The very shadow that Peter was walking in Acts, people were getting healed. All of a sudden, it's like, whew, you walk past a person and they feel virtue. Why is that? Because I'm operating under a different level. I'm deciding to say, you know what? I'm going to wear my helmet. Now, going back to dealing with the Roman soldier, and keep that up on the screen, the Roman soldiers would use their helmet to make sure that certain debris or somebody's hit them with a sword or whatever, it would not hurt them or penetrate them. Okay? But for a Roman soldier, the Roman soldier not only wore his helmet in battle, that Roman soldier wore his helmet every time they were in the public arena. It was a part of their attire. The only time that helmet was off was when they was at home. And everyone, when they left the house, they picked it up. How many times do we leave the house for work and we haven't picked up the helmet? You know, because I'm going to show you a few things with that helmet. So we sit back and we recognize, you know, with the helmet, it's amazing with the football players. Up there on the my left here, there are coaches in the coaching box. And they're sitting high up above the stadium looking down, seeing the whole field of play and all the action. They can see what the enemy is doing and how the enemy is doing it. And all of a sudden, the offensive coordinator, because there is in the helmet of the quarterback a microphone. And that person said, they're running this defense, so now we're going to change our offense. I see them doing this, so now you need to do that. You notice how God talks to us? Through the helmet? I see the enemy is strategizing this, so we're going to counter that with this. And if I don't have my helmet on, if I don't have my kingdom cap on, I won't know what the devil is doing and how he's doing it and how to counteract. I become a victim before I know it, and then I'm trying to pray out of my victimization. And God said, you're not to become a victim. I made you a victor. I want you to stand proactively in your victory now. So when the devil comes against you, he already is connected or confront the reinforcement of defeat that Jesus did for him over 2,000 years ago, because he said, you got your helmet on. You know, you're hearing from God. You know, I didn't know this until recently when I started looking at the idea of a sheep. That the idea of a sheep is this. There are parasites that try to always get into the ears of the sheep. And if those parasites are always successful in getting into the ear of a sheep, it will cause the sheep to go crazy and die. And what the shepherds would do was take oil and pour it all over the heads of the sheep. So when the parasites came, they slid right off. He anointeth my head with oil. Your cap is anointed. The enemy comes in with all these voices and it just slides down. It don't even find its way into your hearing. Put your helmet on. Put your kingdom cap on. You wear that wherever you go. It is your weapon that causes defeat of the enemy's effectiveness. Let me sit that down because I want to make sure that we get a good picture. So God wants you to know that, number one, God said that the helmet is something that we are to take. It is your responsibility to pick it up. Don't let it lay around unused. The helmet was an important part of a soldier's attire, and it was for combat. But at the same time, it was for protection that kept him pretty much free from being damaged, his brain being damaged. When you suit up in your army fatigue or you're playing football, the last thing you put on before you go on the field is what? Your helmet. How many know that every time you leave your house, you go into the battlefield? You know? Yeah, they're telling you, don't leave your mask. Okay, that's okay. My thing is, I'm not leaving my kingdom cap. Okay? I'm going to wear this because I know where my real protection is. I know who really is going to keep me in the midst of all the things that is causing people to have much fear. How many of you have been hearing, you know, whether it's by the radio, internet, or whatever, that they are, you know, beefing up mental health counseling because people are experiencing anxiety and depressions and everything else in record proportions? Matter of fact, being closed in, and I don't know, some of you already experienced that. I haven't, okay? People are losing their minds staying around their loved ones too long. We're hearing abuses up. Marital conflict is up, and it's like, you know, my kingdom cap is not even on. Guess what? Because if I'm wearing this, my home exemplifies the glory of the Lord. My marriage exemplifies the marriage of the marriage supper of the Lamb. I mean, think about it. You know, we're not realizing or recognizing I got the key. Why am I letting adversity come into my house? Why are you getting on my last nerve? Because I shouldn't have one left over anyway. You know, open the door of happiness. Open the door of satisfaction and joy of the Lord. You got the key. You know, lock up strife. Lock up anger. Lock up, you know, all those things that is causing confusion. Lock it up. Put your kingdom cap on. The helmet of salvation. Now I got to thinking about that. Why did you call it the helmet of salvation? You know, we hear that word salvation and we think that it's only about being born again. But that word, sozo, is loaded. It's loaded with good stuff. Let me tell you, let me show you this. It means this: to be saved, to be fully preserved, to be restored, to be rescued, to be delivered. It's a state of safety from danger and destruction. It's a soundness. It is a person who has a secure, strong mindset. They're healthy. And I'm sitting here saying, is that in the camp? Yes. You know what? You know, I'm sitting here thinking, all of a sudden, I don't know, how many of you ever read Psalm 103? That's a good scripture, isn't it? It sounds good. You know, praise the Lord, on my soul, and my innermost being, praise his holy name. You know, forget not all his benefits, who forgive all your sins, who heal all of your diseases, who redeem your life from the pit of crown, you who love and with compassion, who satisfy your desires with good things. In Psalm 91, oh, it's so good. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will reset the shadow in the Almighty. I will say unto the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, in whom I will trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. What we got now going right now? A deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrows that fly by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plagues that destroy at the midday. Thousands may fall at my side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. That's the kingdom cap. Oh, I got to put that on. Why? Because everything's going to fall. Why? Because I'm walking in his presence. My heart is burning because I'm communicating with him. He is exposing the strategies of the devil, and I know what's happening before it happens. Isn't that frustrating? I don't know if you remember Elijah, the king of Aram. He kept wanting to kill Elijah, and every time he set an ambush, Elijah knew the plans ahead of time, and he said, somebody is telling him my plans. And he said, oh, it's that prophet. You know, he knows what is even happening in your bedchamber. What? Yeah, he knows what's going on in your bedroom. And all of a sudden, he comes with a plan. He sets out his army. Elijah wakes up, and surrounding him is a big, big army presence. And Elijah is sitting back there kind of, you know, chilling. You know, and it's like, aren't you afraid? No, he has his kingdom cap on. He has the voice of God. So he said this, and I'm going to read it. The king of Aram sent horses and chariots and a great army. They went there by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up, went out early in the morning, an army with his horse and chariots had surrounded the city. So he asked Elijah, oh, my master, what are we going to do? And Elijah said, don't be afraid. He answered, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And he's looking around. It's like he's seeing all the horses and chariots and fires of the king of Aram. And it's like, what do you mean those who are with us are more than those who are with them? And he prayed, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked up in the hills, and around that hill was full of horses of chariots and fire all around Elijah. The angelic host was there. And they smitten the army with blindness. And Elijah walked them right into their enemy's camps, and they were arrested. Isn't it nice that the devil knows, don't mess with me. I got my cap on, and I got my keys at hand, and I know how to use it. And you will never catch me without my kingdom cap, because I'm going to live this thing like Jesus was trying to show me. So I begin to think about that. You know, I don't know if you heard Michael W. Smith's song, this is how I fight my battles. You know, when it looks like I'm surrounded, I'm really surrounded by you. In the day that we're living in, pick up your kingdom cap. The voice of God is there available to speak into your ears. You have the presence of mind knowing that my heart is burning. I'm surrounded by him. I go into the grocery store. I go into whatever I'm going into. I don't know where the silent enemy is, but I know I'm surrounded by him. Just that is a presence mentally that I have to get in my thinking, and it gets locked in. Why is that? Because there are many believers who are getting frustrated. There are many believers who is losing their faith. Well, in other words, they're mad at God. You know, they're disappointed with God. They're looking for somebody to blame, like the world. It's the Republicans' fault. It's the president's fault. It's all this kind of fault. You know, they're constantly at, that's the rope-a-dope. The devil wearing us out. You know, even the greatest weapon that the devil has used so far is social distancing of the church. When we come, I'm coming carrying and being a conduit of his presence. You come in here being a carrier and a conduit of his presence. You're causing me to be strengthened by your presence. All of a sudden, he's dividing that. And people are trying to become what they need to become all by themselves. How many of you know that the greatest thing that the enemy can do is separate us? And then we let him separate us without a fight. And God is sitting there saying, you know, I respect what everybody's doing. Put your kingdom cap on. Quit thinking from a media standpoint. That word media means in the middle. Okay? So in the middle of this cranial cavity here, of my mindset, remember Paul in Romans chapter 12 said, don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, I don't think we really have a real handle on what that really, really means, because if our kingdom cap is on, we will see that. You know, because here, I'm going to read this from my notes as we are getting close to the time that we need to end. But when I begin to start thinking about the kingdom cap, a kingdom cap is a renewed mindset, a transformation of the mind that is just like Christ, that refuses to be entertained by any thoughts that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. 2 Corinthians, we demolish every argument. We cast down every thought that tries to rise itself against the knowledge of God. The kingdom cap is where my life becomes a full demonstration of the character in open display for everybody to see. Because I am thinking his thoughts, I am following his ways. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Jesus is saying, when in the midst of all the coronavirus, when they see you, they should be seeing the Father. The kingdom cap is when I understand that I am an ambassador of Christ. I am a citizen from another kingdom representing that kingdom in another world. The kingdom Jesus spoke of is a kingdom from heaven in the hearts of men. The kingdom is a real government from heaven with a king who rules from heaven. And this kingdom has a real subject called citizens. I am a citizen of the kingdom of God, which occupies a territory in the earth and that is going to obey the comprehensive rule of God. I am here to fulfill a mandate. So when my kingdom cap is on, my mind is in a state of transformation. Now, I don't know if you remember when Jesus, I think in Matthew chapter 17, the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus went up there, when he was praying, and Peter, James, and John all of a sudden saw him glow. Glory shows up. He was transformed. That's the same word of let your mind be transformed. In other words, this is what he's pretty much saying. He's saying that in a state of where our minds should be displaying, it should be radiating glory. It should be radiating something that is not of this world. It should be radiating something so differently, people are all looking at it and say, what in the world? Because that's what Peter, James, and John is like. What is going on? Transformation. I don't think like I used to. The word transform means a way of thinking that you are never, ever, ever were a part of before, and now you are, and it's totally different than anything you've ever experienced. That's the kingdom cap. So when I'm listening at all of the stuff and hearing all the stuff, I have to put my kingdom cap on, because all of a sudden, what everybody else is saying, I don't think that way. My thoughts become his thoughts. My actions become his actions. And all of a sudden, you know, fear knocks at my door. Faith answer, and there is nothing there. That's the kingdom cap. That's what we should be wearing. That's the helmet of salvation. I'm rescued. I'm delivered. I'm protected. I'm healed. I'm saved. You know, it's the whole kit and caboodle. It's everything. There is so much it is loaded with. But without me wearing the hat, the things that I should be connected with, protected when the fiery darts come, the helmet protects me, okay? When I need instruction, God is in the booth like the coach, sitting down signals, telling me, all right, your enemy's going to do this, you do that. And what frustrates the enemy so bad is when you're able to counteract something before they even know that you even knew what he was going to do. That you had a plan before their plan was even started. And God sitting there said, that's in the kingdom cap. That's the cap, y'all. This cap thinks like God. It's his thoughts. Freedom to get into our hearts and our actions take hold and begin to display that everywhere we go, in everything that we do. When they look, come to your house is different. They walk in and it's like, wow, there's a presence here that is not in my home. Got my kingdom cap on. Your marriage is different. You look, oh, wow, what is it? It looks like Christ in the church. Why? Got my kingdom cap in my marriage. Okay? Because if I take that off, I'm going to act a fool. You know? All of a sudden, the flesh gets in. All of a sudden, the enemy start getting those parasites in your ear. Say, yeah, she's ugly. Yeah, she's my problem. Yeah, this, yeah, that. And it's like, you know, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. My wife is a child of the Most High God. Look at God's beautiful daughter. Oh, my God, she reminds me of Jesus, and what I want to do is to serve him. What I want to do is exalt him. What I want to do is take care of him and love him and show him how awesome he is in my heart. That's the kingdom cap. But I take it off, and all of a sudden, we're fussing and arguing. We're divided. You cannot let this thing just rest on a particular shelf and say, oh, that's nice, God, yeah. And God say, No. I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, whatever you forbid. And I'm sitting here, it's like, okay, the devil comes, he tries to attack my family. Stop! In Jesus' name, you have no right here, and I arrest you. I got the authority. And then I loose God's presence, God's blessing, and all those things. That's the kingdom cap. That's the helmet of salvation, okay? Then I know how to use the sword of spirit, which is the word of God. Why? Because I got my mind right. And I know with my mind right, I know how to use the sword right. I know how to use the word of God. And it's nothing that is just like, oh, I read that scripture before. You know, God, I've been praying and praying and praying and nothing is happening. It's because your kingdom cap is not on. Because you sit back and realize they that wait on the Lord, he will renew their strength. They will mount up like wings of eagles. And if you see an eagle's flying high looking down. Okay? God's sitting there saying, I'm going to have you so high that all the problems that has got everybody else down, you're looking down on it. Why? Because you got your kingdom cap on. It's time to put it on. It's time to, you know, not only it just being on our shelves and we just dust it. I know I just kind of gave you a piece, because there was a whole lot I really wanted to say, you know. But, you know, you can only say so much in such a short period of time. But hopefully, you know, put it on. Get you one, okay? Before you go to work, put it on. Before you go to the store, put it on. Before you go visit family, put it on. You know, when you go outside and your neighbor's there, put it on. Put the thing on. Because this is what's going to take care of the business. When you start feeling weary, put on your cap. When you start doubting God, put on your cap. When you start complaining, put on your cap. When you get in fear, put on your cap. Put it on. It's time. As you know, in this day and age that we're now living in, the casual Christian walk is over. The enemy is giving you everything, and he is trying to knock you on your tail. Put on your kingdom cap. People need answers. Put on your cap. You'll have answers. You don't even know you have it. All of a sudden, here comes the voice of God speaking into your helmet. Tell them this. Tell them. And they're wondering, how did you know this? How did you know that? Yeah, I can do that. You know, and God is sitting there saying, I know your thoughts before you even know your thoughts. I know the end from the very beginning. The kingdom cap, it's loaded. It's just loaded. It's so loaded, it just boggles your mind. And what I want to do for my pastor is give him his own kingdom cap. Because this man is standing and having done all the stand. Your stance is a position of victory, not in a position of defeat. Your position is a position that I have already won this thing. It's mine because God said it's mine. So my pastor, who've been keeping us afloat in all the midst of this thing, put his cap on. Now this guy right here, I remember one of my Bible, you just talk about fighting bees. This guy right here is realizing and recognizing he's upholding the congregation, but we need to uphold him. That's the unity of the body. Everybody here put their kingdom cap on. The devil wouldn't even dare come even 50 feet near this place. That place is full of power. That place is full of the presence of God. There's a burning in everybody's heart. The presence of God is alive and is vibrant. And then when you walk out of here, he's running to and fro because he can't stand the power that's radiating from you because everybody's walking out with their helmet of salvation, their kingdom cap. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks. We give you praise in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord God, we know that you have blessed us with many promises, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. That's the kingdom cap. I don't have a weakness in anything because I'm not walking in my strength. I'm walking in yours. I will need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of your might. I don't even have to do anything but just stand in what you already have done. Lord, we thank you as we go through all the things that we're going through. The 23rd Psalm, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for your wrath, your rod, your staff, they comfort me. You anointed my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Lord, you are telling me, put your kingdom cap on. The shadow of death is out there, but guess what? You're walking in the life of life. I've defeated death, hell, and the grave. You're not to be afraid of that. You're to walk through it. Because I have given you the power and the authority, and I have given you salvation. I rescue you. I keep you safe. I protect you. You go with that kingdom cap and know that I'm going to take care of you. And let other people see, how is it that you are at peace that passes all understanding? Because I'm a part of the kingdom of God. My mind is set. My focus is right, I am covered, and my hearing, I am receiving the instructions given to me by God. You might say, someone is out there, I've never given my life to the Lord. The kingdom of heaven awaits you. Oh, it's some good stuff. Just cry out to the Lord, come into my life, forgive me of my sins, and make me a citizen of the kingdom. I want a kingdom cap too. I want to be able to stand, and having done all to stand, I want to be able to rest in your yoke, Lord God, that is easy, that is light. I want to be able, Lord, to have the peace in the midst of the storm and cause me to exemplify and expose to the world what Jesus looks like in the midst of conflict in our world, in the midst of coronavirus, in the midst of fear. I want to be that city set on the hill. I want to be that light that shines so much. My kingdom cap, Lord, being a part of that kingdom makes me a recipient of all that, and I want to reflect that. So, Father, thank you for coming into my life, making me a part of your kingdom, giving me a kingdom cap so that I can go forth in the power of your spirit and have the victory in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.